Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by John Regan, CEO of Electric Guitar. Welcome back, John.
Thank you very much.
So the company just announced a joint venture with Xcelia Technologies Limited, a Cyprus-based software development firm, to launch Marcoms.ai. This 50-50 partnership aims to create AI-driven products by combining Xcelia's expertise in AI, blockchain and data processing with Electric Guitar's commercialization skills and extensive data resources. The venture will leverage the $800 billion digital marketing industry's transformation driven by privacy and technology to provide enhanced personalization and targeted audience outreach, Marcoms.ai. The initial product will utilize Three Radical's global data store containing over 1 billion data points to develop advanced machine learning algorithms for improved consumer engagement. Development has commenced, with user acceptance testing expected to begin in autumn. You highlighted the advantage of their extensive data, while Margherita Maimoni, CEO of Xcelia, emphasised the untapped potential of AI in marketing. Sounds like an exciting JV, John. Please tell us more.
Thank you for that introduction. Obviously, it's a very interesting topic because we're talking here about AI, which is really, really disrupting the advertising industry right now. Just to give you a bit of background and a bit of a refresh, actually, Electric Guitar, the reason Electric Guitar was created is because we're seeing this $800 billion digital advertising industry become very disruptive by two things: changing attitudes to privacy, but also greater consumer expectations about how we personalize. And they kind of conflict because you need data to personalize, but at the same time, people are concerned about privacy. And we've seen legislators reacting to that by bringing in legislation, which means that data has to be more clearly permissioned. And we've seen consumers reacting to that as well by becoming increasingly concerned about the data that gets harvested by businesses like Meta with Facebook and various others as well. So we've got this real conflict. And if you're an advertiser, your challenge is that the thing that you used to do in the past, which was buy this harvested data, it's called third-party data, and it's, you know, taken from you by devices like cookies and things that survey what you're doing on your device. That third-party data is getting much harder to access because the legislation and actually the tech providers are blocking it quite considerably. So in the past, what you were able to do as an advertiser is run campaigns where the data was very, very cheap, get people to hit your website. They would come onto your website, and if they bounced off, it didn't matter because there was plenty more mud to throw at that wall, and enough of them were converting into business to make that worthwhile. Now that's much harder. And so now, if you are a chief marketing officer, a CMO, what you're thinking is that when people hit your website, you really do need to do something with more with that hit on that website than just ignore them and try and re-canvas them if they don't buy. So what that means is, you know, firstly, you've got the opportunity to find out more about them, to engage them, to get what's called first-party data, where people enter a dialogue with you, they permission very clearly with you the type of data that they've given, and you can use that data to improve the way the website works, to give people much more appropriate information. And you can also use that data to re-solicit them. If they've given you an email address or something like that, or they start to log in on your website, you can recognize them. And each time they come back, their experience gets better. And that makes a lot of sense because, you know, if you can't throw mud at the wall, then you've got to make the most of what you have. Now, one of the things which is really important in that context is understanding what engages people, what keeps them on the website. And the way that you do that is you work out what the next best thing to do is. So there's lots of reasons that someone could visit a website. They might just be researching. They might be entertaining themselves. They might be wanting to try your product, or they might be ready to buy. And that's just four, but there's lots of other reasons for doing that. And what is really, really valuable is being able to understand at a really early stage where they are in that journey, because then you can serve up the right information. You might direct them towards a brochure. You might direct them towards a product trial. You might give them a discount in order to get them to buy. There are lots of different things that you can do. And that's where what we're doing with the AI joint venture becomes really, really important, because what we realized is the thing that really makes that work is machine learning and AI. Now, I've said to you, I think in the past, the challenge with AI, and there's lots of advertisers trying to deploy it, the challenge with AI is two things. You've got to have the right data. And I talked before about ChatGPT. ChatGPT is incredibly impressive and everything else, but the moment you try and get to the point where you're doing something specific, it starts to fall down because it's a generalist. What it needs, what you need, is the really the right specific data to get the AI to work. And then you need the right skills to deploy that. So the reason for the JB is this. Three Radical, the business that Electric Guitar bought in May, has not only created first-party data for many, many clients, but it's also stored data around all of the interactions which has gone through its technology. So they're sitting on about a billion data points. And we believe that that data on its own can be used to make those types of predictions on how to engage people using machine learning. So our first opportunity with that AI job venture, and we've already started work on that, is to create the machine learning that means that where our clients come into, where our clients are working through Radical, we can predict at a really early stage how to optimize that experience to get the type of engagement they want. But we believe that more generally, we will be able to spread that across websites. But that's actually just the beginning, because also what we've realized is as this develops and as we work with more clients, as we work with more acquisitions, the data which we will have access to also becomes greater. And so we will get to the point where we've got even more data than the billion data points I've talked about, and even greater ability to start to look at how this engagement works and deploy the latest AI technology to really optimize that for our clients in real time. So it's a really exciting opportunity for us to be working to develop this JB.
Very good. John, how do you see that this is going to help you with the bottom line then? I mean, the CEO of Exelia Technology, they basically have said, we know that the marketeers have barely scratched the surface of the benefits of AI has to offer them. But how is it just going to improve the experience for your existing customers, or do you see more customers coming on board because Exelia Technologies be able to bring you more customers?
Okay, well, firstly, let's start from the beginning of that. The product that we're talking about, which we believe that we will be able to develop over the next 3 to 12 months, is an incredibly attractive product, both for existing clients and for new clients. If we are able to deploy technology, which means that we can understand how anyone's prospects getting a website are engaging, and therefore what the next best thing to do is in order to increase that engagement, then that's obviously making their marketing spend more valuable to them. It's increasing their ROI. So by having that product, we expect to bring in new clients. Now, in this JV, the sales and marketing arm is Electric Guitar and Three Radical. So it's us which are expected to bring those clients in. And we're excited about it because we know from talking to the prospects that we talk to and the clients that we have, that that is an area of key interest for chief marketing officers, being able to drive that engagement. But where the chief executive of Exelia Technologies mentions that, you know, we're merely scratching the surface, there are much broader applications for machine learning than just that engagement. We can refine that and enhance that, and we can start talking about next actions and things like that. But also, as the business develops, there are lots of other areas which are ripe for disruption using machine learning. For example, media planning or media optimization, and all of the research and all of the research and audience research and research into finding new audiences, which goes into that media planning space as well. All of that is ripe for disruption by AI. Anything which is people heavy, which is currently using, you know, large numbers of account managers, large numbers of technical people, can be made considerably more important and more efficient if you've got the right data and the right technology.
Very good. So how quickly do you think this product is going to be created, and how's the work started on them?
Well, I'll answer your second question first. Yes, the work has actually started on that product, and we're going to develop it in stages because it's a learning process. It's an iterative learning process. What we know, actually, is that there is a huge amount of data which looks at how people engage, and we know that from analyzing that data, we will be able to understand considerably more about engagement than is generally known in the market. From that, we can develop technology which helps our clients. Our first stage in that is to process. If you imagine, it's a massive cloud of data, you know, a billion data points. It's very hard for a human to interpret. So what we've got to do is what's called data engineering or feature engineering. We have to do work on that data so that it starts to make a bit more sense. And the type of thing there is to sit there and say, okay, fine, you know, we've got, for example, on that database, time of day, and that could be any minute of any hour, which looks like a mess. But if we then just plump that into morning, noon, and night, all of a sudden it starts to make more sense to a human. So our starting point is to do some simple things like that, some slightly more complex things like that. And at the start point, just build a dashboard that provides a window on that so we can understand what's going on. We can understand the interactions. From there, you iterate. That's the point where you start deploying the machine learning, because you can see some interesting interactions and think, okay, now what we need is some really massive processing power and technology to really help us understand that and deploy it. So the first iteration, which we expect to be complete within 3 to 6 months, will be that window. And then the next iteration will be based on what we learn from that window on the database. And it will be algorithms which start to work with our clients. And the thing about machine learning, you know, the clue is in the name. You continue to learn and evolve as you learn, as the data works and as you see more happening. So you say, well, when would it be complete? I think the answer probably, Kevin, is it will never be complete. It will be continuously evolving. But the real question you're asking is, well, when will we have a product where we can talk to clients about it? And that's that window on the data. That's in 3 to 6 months.
Okay, very good. So three radical in terms of, just give us a quick overview before we finish about what's been happening at Three Radical in the last few months since you listed.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like a long time, but it's actually 3rd of May to now. So it's 3 months. There's been some significant changes there. If you've been seeing RNSs, we have put in place a new MD. And what we have done really is change the focus of that business. Historically, what they have been is a really good team of developers with a really effective and robust tech platform, which is why they've won some very big clients, people like MasterCard and Kaiser Rotten, significant clients, you know, and they've won the beauty parade there against lots of competitors. And that's because of the strength of the infrastructure that they built. But what they've never really focused on is the sales and marketing and productization of the technology they've built. So what we've been working on there is bringing in a sales team. We've got now two new salespeople and a sales focused MD. We've got a new marketing person, and we're working with a pipeline development agency as well to start bringing more and more sales through into a proper traditional sales pipeline. We've also been working with the development team there to productize what they've been doing. Historically, what they've been doing has been very, very bespoke. So we've seen sales cycles ranging between 3 to 6 months. We believe that we can get those sales cycles down to a month. And in some instances, we're looking at technology that we can deploy in there, whereas before, that would be 3 to 6 months to deploy it. So it's much less bespoke, much more productized, but still just as valuable to clients, because what we're doing is standardizing what we do based on what we know works, as opposed to asking them what they'd like to do and how to tweak things. So our starting point, obviously, we will do bespoke work with clients, but they need to understand that actually there is a cost associated with that additional work, and the cost is both in our time and theirs. And actually what we've got is products that we can deploy very quickly, which are very effective. So it's a sales pipeline. It's a shift in how long that pipeline takes to deliver revenue. And we're already beginning to see the impact of that within. And that's quite significant. 3 months is not a very long time to change yourself. But already we are seeing more meetings, more sales pitches, and the prospect of business coming through.
So you see that pipeline has already started to change and I suppose increase?
Yes, that's right. Look, I don't want to make any promises about stuff, because you can get yourself in a lot of trouble doing that sort of thing. But yes, that shift is beginning to deliver the type of result that we had hoped. And with a sales focused MD and an actual salesperson in there, then it's feeling like a very different business. And now with the AI joint venture, what we're able to do is add more to that, because we're developing more products. And these products are stickier. Rather than a first party data product that tends to work campaign by campaign, now we're talking about something which is a lot more strategic.
Something they're going to be using all the time. So Obviously anyone who bought in the IPO or probably since then is looking at a sort of 60-70% loss on their stock. So have you got any comments or thing that you can share with people about how they should feel about that?
Yeah, I think that the reality here is that what we've seen is that there are some people who have decided to sell. And the reason behind that, we believe, and it's always very hard to get to the bottom of people's motivations, but we had a very long fundraise process for Three Radical, and that's the state of the market that we're in. We were actually suspended our share trading was suspended for 9 months while we went through that sales process to raise the funding that we raised. And I believe we were one of only two businesses in May, or by May in that year, that had actually successfully raised new money and IPO'd on. So, you know, a very tough market to be in, and that's why it took 9 months. But of course, in that nine-month period, there's a lot of people whose circumstances have changed, and that's very hard to predict. And for reasons that we can't really control, they needed to get some liquidity in the investment which they've made. So we've seen some sellers come through as a result of that. And it's, you know, it's a bit of a pain to see the share price go down, but we believe that that selling has, you know, it's pretty much gone through now. And the challenge, of course, to us is, well, we are a micro cap. So very few shares being sold, a very small percentage of our business being sold, really does shift the share price in a way which is disproportionate to what's actually happening. We've seen with £500 trades changing our share price by 4 or 5%, which is just a feature of the market and the scale that we're at. But we also know, we're also hearing that there is demand for shares. So we expect that, you know, I can't really make predictions about where our share price will go, but you know, we are hearing that this is, you know, there is stuff which is feeding through, and hopefully that will change soon.
Well, you are, as you just said, really are a micro cap now in terms of valuation. So you would have to think that the only way is up from this point. So let's hope a few people will be attracted by this. I mean, you do have clients like MasterCard and various other household names, as you've said. Even the expansion of those should cause Three Radical to have quite an upgrade, you would imagine.
You are in the privileged position of being able to comment on this in the way that I'm not, Kevin. But I think that what you're saying makes perfect sense.
Indeed. Well, we wish you luck and enjoy your time now. And we will speak to you as soon as there's some more news, I think, John.
John Regan, CEO of Electric Guitar, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.